It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferenc Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ferenc is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ferenc cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ferenc Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ferenc, and I have a lot of stuff to cover today, so let's get to it. First bit of news that is no surprise to everyone, but this is the latest updated information, and that is that the average American family basic living expenses have increased by $1,300 per month compared to January of 2021. That's an additional $15,600 per year. And the question you really have to answer is, what would an extra $15,000 a year do for you and your family? Obviously, it would be a significant difference for many families. It would help them, say, pay off some debt, be able to invest or save more, perhaps purchase a nicer home, or a home for that matter could be the difference, an extra $1,300 a month. But no, instead, the average American family is having to spend that extra money on food, housing, clothing, the basics necessities. And the main culprit, the main reason, of course, is because our federal government is spending too much money, which is causing this inflation that we are all dealing with. Another factor that we're seeing based on this, now a new study shows that 46% of middle-class workers are now slashing or completely cutting out contributions to their retirement accounts, 401ks and things like that, because they're needing that money to pay the current basic expenses. The problem that causes is going to be a significant impact in future decades. And the reason behind that, of course, is compound interest. For example, if you take a simple situation of, let's say you were contributing $3,000 a year into some type of retirement program, and let's just say you got a roughly 7% return on that money annually on average. Well, in the next several decades, that could amount to anywhere upwards of $30,000 of less money you would have available for retirement because of the compound interest. And if it's a 401k, for example, where there's a company match, if they're matching your contributions, the difference could be as much as $50,000 or $60,000. That you're losing out on because of the $3,000 a year you're not contributing now. And by the way, when I say 7%, my gosh, today we have annuities that are great for IRA type contributions that are paying 8% guaranteed first year right now and have options in the future based on the 10-year treasury or index options where you can earn double-digit growth on good market years with no downside risk in bad years. In other words, these are great tools to be used for retirement planning, retirement accounts, things like that. What I'm getting at is the situation that we're dealing with now with inflation has long and far-reaching consequences for many, many people. And this is going to get ugly as we go forward and as this continues to go. So at the same time that roughly half of American workers are cutting back or completely eliminating their contributions to their retirement plans, Social Security at this point is set to reduce payments starting in 2033. Actuaries have come out and now said that the average American will see a $325 a month reduction in benefits starting in 2033 if Congress does nothing to change this. Folks, 2033 isn't that far down the road. The Social Security report, trustees report, has stated repeatedly, and the most current information is, starting in 2033, the money available in Social Security will only be able to pay 79% of scheduled benefits. That means that would be a 21% benefit cut across the board for everyone, and I mean everyone, who receives Social Security. The Medicare health insurance, which is what covers hospital expenses for most retirees, that's Medicare Part A, is set to only be able to pay 89% of benefits starting in 2036. So then we have another double whammy here. Not only is Social Security set to pay out less in benefits, again, unless some changes are made. But the Medicare benefits also are set to be reduced. Also, think about this. Let's put this in perspective. Let's say you had a $100,000 medical bill, and it's 2036, and now they're only going to pay 89% of the benefit. So if you had a $100,000 bill and you expected Medicare to pay it, now they only pay $89,000, and you're on the hook for the other $11,000. It's not hard to get a $100,000 medical bill. We all know that. And if you don't have a whole lot of extra money laying around, you get an extra medical bill on top of that, what is going to happen? These are very serious financial issues, retirement planning issues that are heading down the pike in less than a decade. Again, compounding, the issue is compounding because of the fact of inflation is eating away at most Americans' purchasing power. They're spending, as I stated earlier, $15,000 per year. The average family is spending that more on basic living expenses than they were just 3.5 years ago. Effects are cumulative. They pile on, they build on each other, which makes things worse and worse. But there's another issue is the debt. The federal debt is at all-time record highs. And as the government continues to borrow more money, they're going to be under increasing pressure to at least pay the interest. The interest on the debt now is actually more than our entire Department of Defense spending. And that's no small deal. Okay, that's one of the biggest expenses in the federal budget. It's number three, in fact, Social Security, Medicare, and then it was Department of Defense. Now it's interest on the debt. Defense spending has now moved into the fourth slot as the biggest expense in the federal budget. The biggest problem isn't even so much how much the interest on the debt is, but that it's continuing to increase and compound and will continue to do so, again, as long as the government continues to spend more than it receives, which it's doing at record clips. My point is this, I believe one of the biggest challenges we're dealing with going forward is, again, as the federal government continues to spend more money and the debt continues to increase, they're going to be under increasing pressure to pay, not only pay the interest, and then at some point down the road, potentially reduce spending and reduce the debt because it's going to just get out of hand. It'll get out of control. It'll be uncontrollable, unsustainable. Well, why is this such a big deal? Well, as the government has under more and more pressure to raise revenues to pay interest on the debt, well, what are those some of the ways the federal government can raise revenues? One of them is raising taxes. I'm not saying that that's the best way to go about it, but certainly they're going to be under increased pressure to do so. Now, why is that such a big deal? As this article states, this is from a retirement planning expert. I really love this. He says, I'm a retirement expert. Why you'll regret putting too much money into your 401k or IRA. Now, this is interesting. I run into this with a lot of folks where they were excellent savers, investors, and over years and decades even, they invested a significant sum into a 401k and IRA. If you put in a significant amount, it gets to be too much. What ends up happening? Well, literally what happens is you create what in our industry we call a ticking tax time bomb. The problem is, well, you're putting this money away. Can you predict what the tax rate is going to be when you take the money out? The argument is, well, you defer the tax money now while you're in a higher tax bracket, right? That's the argument we hear, and then you'll take it out in the future in retirement in a lower tax bracket because you'll have lower income. Well, that's the argument. But do you know that statistics show that only works about 15% of the time? In other words, 85% of the time, roughly, the average American is the same tax bracket or higher in retirement than they were when they were working. Why is that the case? Well, Social Security benefits are taxable. Pension income, investment income oftentimes is taxable. Of course, monies you take out of any qualified plan, IRAs, 401ks, is taxable. And what all that does is typically on majority of cases keeps you in the same, if not higher, tax bracket. And all this is predicated on assuming the tax brackets stay the same. Well, we know for a fact that the Trump tax cuts that went into effect in 2017 are set to expire after 2025, so in a couple of years. Unless Congress extends those tax cuts Tax brackets, tax rates for nearly everyone are going up. That's a fact for 2026. And the reality is, the political reality is, unless the Republicans win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, it's very unlikely those tax cuts will be extended. So that is the law in the books right now. So we have to plan for that accordingly. But what I'm saying is, even beyond that, as the debt continues to climb and the interest on the debt continues to climb, the federal government's going to be looking for ways to generate revenue, to raise revenue. And again, taxes is one of those things. There'll be in a lot of pressure to raise taxes. So can you say to me confidently that if you put money into a qualified plan today, that you'll be taxed at a same or lower rate in the future? And the odds are statistically very low. And they likely could increase the brackets, increase the taxes, and you end up paying more, actually. And to make matters worse, if you put money way into a qualified plan and that grows, you grow a nice nest egg, you're going to be paying taxes not only at the same or higher rate, but on an even bigger pile of money. What's the solution? Well, that's why Roth IRAs and Roth conversions are so popular. Building a tax-free bucket of money, which your personal bank can do also, with some additional benefits that Roths don't provide. So you can do a Roth-like conversion or a Roth-like contribution to build a tax-free bucket of money and reduce your future unknown tax liability on your retirement accounts. I mean, the reality is, doesn't it make sense to have an option, to create options for yourself? Because we cannot predict the future. Stay tuned in the next segment. I got a lot more stuff to cover that I know for a fact you're just not going to want to miss.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and if you contact me at yourpersonalbank.com, yes, you will actually reach me. A lot of people are surprised by that. But I am doing my best to make sure I reach out or respond to everybody that does reach out to me. And so far, I've been able to keep up with it. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com for more information. I'll be happy to talk to you about your situation, how you can reduce market risk, increase your returns, your liquidity, guaranteed, insured, tax-free, again, high liquidity, create positive arbitrage, all these things, which I believe are becoming even more important than ever. I run into folks, I discussed in the very beginning of the last segment, where inflation is eating away at people who are working, but I run into a lot of folks who have been working for a while, contributing to qualified plans, IRAs, 401ks, and they're building what's called ticking tax time bombs. The problem is they're limited. They don't have any tax diversification risk. This is one of the things that a lot of people miss when they're planning. We all understand diversification, you know, it makes sense to reduce market risk and things like that, but very few people really look at diversifying when it comes to tax risk. In other words, if you're putting majority or all of your money in a qualified plan, that'd be an IRA, 401k, TSA, those types of accounts, of course, it's all subject to tax when you take it out. And on those types of plans, when you turn 72, you have to start taking it out, something called required minimum distributions. The problem occurs is oftentimes the withdrawal phase was going to occur sometime down the road, or even if you're already there, over several decades throughout retirement. Can you tell me what tax rates are going to be 5 or 10 years from now? Heck, we don't even know where they're going to be a couple of years from now with the current tax laws. You are subject to the whims of Congress, whatever tax rates they decide, if most, if not all, your money is tied up in that type qualified accounts. Therefore, you are subject to tax risk. You don't have any options. You don't have any options of taking money from a tax-free bucket. Diversifying into it and creating a tax-free bucket of money makes a lot of sense. And your personal bank can do that with it being highly liquid, insured, guaranteed, like I said, and tax-free. That is powerful. It gives you options. You can control how you can mitigate how much your future tax liability is going to be on withdrawals when you're supplementing retirement. If you've already done this, you feel like you're too far down the road, there's something called a Roth conversion. Many people have heard of this. You can do a Roth-like conversion with a personal bank where you do indeed pay the taxes, but you do it strategically over time to minimize the total amount of tax you pay. And why it makes sense right now is this and next year, we have 2 years left on some of the lowest tax rates in the history of the federal income tax. In other words, we're currently in the third lowest tax bracket in the history of the income tax, over 100 years. When do you want to pay taxes? When they're low, historically low, or when they're higher? That's pretty obvious. So I have a lot of clients that are strategically taking distributions from IRAs and 401ks, even before they have to, pay tax on that strategically and minimize their overall tax liability rather than just funneling it into a qualified plan and then building a bigger and bigger ticking tax time bomb with an unknown amount of tax that's going to have to be paid on that in the future. It just makes sense. And by the way, if you're under age 59 and a half, many people don't realize they think they cannot take monies from IRAs and 401ks. In reality, qualified plans. The reality is you can. There's a tax law called 72TI. You can look it up. Again, it's IRS code 72T, and it allows for distributions from qualified plans without the 10% penalty tax. You can avoid the penalty tax. Now, there's limits on how much you can do, and there's a calculator that I can run to share with you. It's based on your age and how much you've accumulated to allow you to take the monies out. Yes, you'll still have to pay the income tax on it, but again, we strategically determine how much makes sense for you based on your income, tax brackets, and all those types of things, but we can minimize your overall tax liability, and you can start to diffuse that ticking tax time bomb that maybe you've been building over a number of decades, frankly, in many cases. So if you want more information on that, I mean, I just wouldn't go to anyone. You got to go to somebody who knows what they're doing. I recommend you contact me at yourpersonalbank.com, and I can share with you how this can work for you, show you the exact amounts that would work for you, what the tax liability would be, and show you how much you would actually save in overall tax liability in the future, most likely. So it's a really smart tax planning tool is what I'm trying to say, to build a tax-free bucket of money, give yourself options in the future where you take money from, because let's say tax brackets go up or whatever in the future, which they likely could. If all your money pretty much is wrapped up in taxable accounts, you don't really have any option when you want to take money out. But if you have a taxable account and a tax-free account, you can choose how much you can access from each of those accounts and keep yourself within reason under certain brackets and mitigate your overall tax liability. You can reduce it significantly. This is a great tool that I use with many folks who are not only building retirement plans, but who have already done so and are realizing, oh, wait a minute, I want to take advantage of the low tax rates while they still exist because they may not be around in a couple of years. Simple. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I can share with you a tax, 72T calculator if that's appropriate, or we can do some tax planning to determine how much of the money you can access from your accounts and keep your taxes at a minimal level and mitigate the overall tax liability. So it's hugely valuable. Now, the next thing, and again, another reason why I think it's valuable and timing-wise is most IRAs, 401ks, and most investments, period, are in the market for the most part. Here's an article from Yahoo Finance, in fact. It says, is the stock market going to crash? Well, here's a statement. 153 years of valuation history weighs in and provides a big clue. This is interesting. So the point they're making, many people have heard of the PE ratio or the price earnings ratio. And that's basically the price of a stock based on its earnings that it earns each year. It's called a PE ratio. But there's a valuation driven one where the Shiller PE ratio, what it does is it measures the previous 10 years of PE ratios. So it kind of averages out or levels out, and it takes away one-off events like COVID-19 that can adversely affect any valuation analysis. Well, here's what's interesting about the Shiller PE ratio. And currently we are at 30 over 35, which is one of the highest ever readings for the Shiller PE ratio. Why is this so significant? 35 is over double what the average is. The average historical Shiller PE ratio is about 17. In other words, the average S&P 500 stock trades at about, or its price is about 17 times earnings. We're more than double that. Every time the S&P Shiller PE went above 30 during a bull market rally, which is when it occurs, these are the times, this is what's happened. Of course, the Great Depression, 1929, obviously. The other time was in 1997 through August of 2001, which was the dot-com bubble. That one dropped, the S&P lost 49%. The NASDAQ actually lost 75% of its values. The 2017 through 18, there was a 20% drop in the S&P 500 after it broke 30. The Shiller PE broke 30. 2019 and 20, we had another situation where it broke over 30 and the S&P dropped 34%. Of course, August 2020 and through May of 2022, we had another instance where the Shiller PE broke 30 and the S&P dropped 28%. And currently we're above 35. The key point to understand is when the Shiller PE ratio has surpassed 30 six times in the last 153 years, five of those times, we had pullbacks in the S&P and Dow or whatever, et cetera, larger than 20%. Now, this isn't a timing tool like this article states. It's not going to tell you when it's going to happen exactly, because it could be weeks or months later that this occurs. But the reality is this is something to be very aware of. And I don't think it's any secret. It's not rocket science for anybody to figure out right now that the market is overpriced overall based on historical averages. It even goes further than that. And here's a Motley Fool article discussing this. The problem we're seeing is even though the markets are up, it's not that like all stocks are up. In fact, we're seeing a situation where the majority of stocks are actually down. In other words, there's a few really high-flying tech stocks, NVIDIA being the leader of that, that's really causing or carrying the markets up, where a majority of the stocks are not showing strength. In fact, they're showing weakness. In fact, we're seeing a lot of them not hitting 52-week highs, but doing the opposite. We're also seeing a situation here where these are just things, again, to be aware of, be cautious. There's reasons, again, reasons for concern. You know, you got a situation where interest rates and the stock market, they tend to be inverse correlation with each other. In other words, when interest rates are higher, stocks, businesses, et cetera, tend to do worse. We've discussed this many times on this show. The Fed keeps signaling higher for longer. Inflation is staying stubbornly higher than their 2% target. And that's just bad news for the markets in general. Also, the consumer is finally showing signs of weakening, as this article discusses. I've stated on the show many times, the one bright, really bright spot of the economy has been consumer spending, which is about 2/3 of GDP. The consumer spending is finally really showing signs of weakening. And the main reason behind it, I believe, this is my theory and many others, is that the COVID relief funds that were helicoptered into the economy several years ago are finally running out for many people. And so that extra strong spending, consumer spending that's been occurring for the last several years is finally starting to show real signs of weakness. Unemployment is starting to move up. These are all bad signs for the market and likely headed towards recession. These are key things for you to be aware of. Diversification, diversify your portfolio, having some money guaranteed just makes sense. Diversification always makes sense, but especially when you have more uncertainty and weakness in the markets. Contact me with yourpersonalbank.com if you want more information. I can share with you how to do that. In fact, this is the best time we've seen in 40 years for dividend-paying, high cash value insurance policies and annuities for that matter because of the higher interest rates. So contact me at yourpersonalbank.com for more information. Stay tuned in the next segment. I got some more great information you're just not going to want to miss.
Are you prepared if we fail to avoid a recession? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Most of the leading economic indicators show we are headed for recession. Your personal bank earns dividends with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This protects you from the downside risk and allows you to take advantage of opportunities in a changing economy. For more info, contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your personal bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. One more thing I need to share with the market. Again, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but I would rather give you the facts so you can make decisions and not just listen to the hype and the agenda that we hear so much from the legacy media, Wall Street, whatever, folks with an agenda like that, that want one thing despite what's really going on out there. You need the facts to make good decisions. And this article from Market Insider I thought was very interesting. It's states an overload of warning signals marked the last straw that could send the S&P 500 plunging. And the reason they're saying this, and as he states, a high concentration of warning signals suggests a major market correction ahead. And as they state, there's nothing magical about these syndromes, but when dozens of them kick in at the same time, we do pay attention. There are a number of leading economic indicators, as they state, dozens of them, literally, that are pointing to recession ahead. Be careful. There's no reason why you have to ride. They ride the roller coaster up, but then they stay on the ride too long and they ride it back down. There's no reason that you have to do that. When it's becoming increasingly clear and obvious, yes, no question, generally, I'm an optimist. The vast majority of the time, the stock market, being a bull, being optimistic, pays off. But there are times when, it doesn't take rocket science to realize that things aren't so good and it isn't necessarily a good time to have that risk. It's elevated. For example, this is my third rodeo. I remember 08, 09. It wasn't rocket science to know the market was crashing. Everyone knew that. But so many people just kind of hung in there and say, don't worry, it'll get better and things like that. You don't have to stay with it. There are other options. I've stated this many, many times. Dividend, high cash value dividend paying insurance companies and annuities. These are the best times in 40 years plus years for these products. These are products that shine in a higher interest rate environment, which we're in. It's the best interest rate environment for these products we've seen in 40 plus years. Returns are insured, guaranteed, many times tax-free, and increasing because of the higher interest rates. After suffering through the lowest interest rate environment in history, in the history of the United States, actually, over a decade, they're now thriving. And there's no reason you can't move some money there to diversify, to reduce your risk. And if you're looking at your personal bank, you can have the money highly liquid, 80, 85% liquid day one, in fact. You can make some returns on it. And then when we do see a correction, then you could re-engage, if you will, without having to ride the roller coaster down. I get asked this question all the time, almost daily. Do you think we're going to have a correction? And my answer is yes. Just look at history. I mean, one of the first documented bubbles in investments goes back to Holland and the tulip bulbs. You realize, and this is in the 1500s, do you realize there was a point in time where there were certain tulip bulbs that were more expensive than a house for a single bulb? I mean, you want to talk about a speculative frenzy? It's no different than what we see today. That's human nature. These cycles occur, and they have always occurred, and they will continue to occur. Again, it's basic human nature. When it comes to investing, you have to go against sometimes, you have to be dispassionate and go against some of that human nature so that you don't stay too long. Vegas and Wall Street have a common saying where they state, Vegas is famous for this, that if you play long enough, they will win. And it's funny that they both say the same thing. It's sad, but true. Again, generally speaking, and I'm picking on people who have portfolios and have done well. The last decade has been the best decade in the history of the stock market. And many, many people benefited from that. But again, there's no reason why you have to continue riding that ride. Can the market go up from here, from where it's at? Certainly, yes. Of course it can. Can it go down from where it's at? Absolutely. Of course it can. Again, we're at or near all-time highs. Statistically speaking, where is the risk greater? It's no question the risk to the downside is far greater when you're at the high end of the range. My point is, and you've heard another statement, what is it? Pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. In other words, if you stay too long, you try to grab that last little bit, oftentimes that's when it turns. And the funny thing, again, back to human nature, is when the market turns, it typically turns at a point where there's general euphoria. In other words, people start feeling like, hey, it's never going to go down. And that's when you need to be the most wary, the most cautious. And if you don't believe me, the person who's been called the greatest investor in history, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett himself, through his actions, has recently sold more stock than at any point in his 60-plus year career. He stated he will get back in the markets when it crashes or after it crashes. That isn't me. That's him stating that. I think he would know more than anyway. I'm going to listen to that guy. My point is, I'm not trying to be pessimistic here. I'm not trying to scare anyone. What I'm trying to do is help you understand that if you have done well and the chips have built up on the table, you've made a tremendous return over the last decade plus. There's no argument there, no question many people have. When is it time to take the chips off the table, or at least some of the chips off the table? I mean, a smart gambler, we know this, will play with house money after they've won some. What does that mean? In other words, you started with a certain stake, your contribution. How much did you put into this investment portfolio? How much of it is your money? And let's say you've done really well and it's gained quite well for you. Well, would it make sense to take your contribution off the table? In other words, the money that you've contributed, and therefore you're playing with the gains only, right? Therefore, if you do have losses in the future, of course, losses always stink. No one likes that. But again, it's not your money you lost. It was just money. It was house money you lost. It was unrealized gains. So it was a paper loss. It wasn't real money. And that takes, by the way, when you do that type of thing, I have a lot of clients that are doing that as we speak. When you do that type of thing, where you take the contributions off the table, it does take some of the pressure off, by the way, the stress off, because you're not risking your money anymore. You're only risking the gains. That's one way to look at it. Another way I find that works for a lot of people is if you're at or nearing retirement, many times what makes sense is determine what you think your reasonable expenses are going to be, how much you're going to need to live. And I'm not talking about the extravagant stuff, just the basic living needs, you know, food, clothing, housing, the basic stuff. Well, what if you take that off the table? We can reverse engineer that and put it into an annuity or your personal bank and guarantee a certain amount of income that would cover your basic living expenses with a reasonable rate of inflation, all that kind of stuff. And if you know your basic living expenses are covered, so you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to risk it, there's no issue, there's no concern, and you want to risk or invest the remainder to see if you can get more return, great, no problem. Because again, it takes the pressure off. It takes the stress off because you know your basic living expenses are covered. You'll have a place to live. You'll be able to eat. You won't have any problem if the market or your investments took a dive. Could be a significant dive. Again, not fun, never enjoyable, but again, not devastating because you protected, you guaranteed, you insured the money you knew that you were going to need. To risk money you know you're going to need, generally speaking, is just not wise, not recommended by anyone. And frankly, if any person or financial advisor recommends to risk money that you know you're going to need, I don't know that I would listen to that person. These are valuable things to be concerned about and be aware of because, as I state, the risks to the market, to the invest, to all the things that are going on are certainly elevated. There's no question about that. No reasonable person can argue that fact. So at a time when we have more economic uncertainty, we have uncertainty in the markets where they're going at nearly all the economic indicators, dozens of them are literally pointing towards recession or a correction at least. Record debt. We have issues with inflation, interest rates, all those types of things. There is a war in the Middle East going on. These are all risks. And if any of those things accelerate or elevate, not that I'm wishing that to happen, but those are certain risks that could occur. To have your money or a majority of your money at risk makes less sense. Having more of your money guaranteed, insured, and tax-free, because you can reduce the tax risk, as I stated in the last segment, just makes more sense than ever. I can't stress this enough. I know it's hard to pull the trigger. I get this sometimes with people. Again, it's human nature. I'm going to go back to that one more time. When you've had some winnings, fear and greed are real emotions, folks. They really are. And, you know, we've heard this many times. Wall Street thrives on those. And when you've won, you've made a lot of money, the greed factor will say, well, if I take it out now, I'll have to pay taxes on it. I'll have to pay capital gains. Well, let me share with you a little fact. Whenever you sell it, you're going to have to pay the capital gains. So whether you do it now or in the future, you're going to have to pay the capital gains unless your income's under a certain limit, which this year and next year, with the Trump current tax laws that are in place, many folks do not realize that if they sell a certain amount of stock, for example, or capital gain appreciated assets, they may have to pay little or no capital gains. These are things we can help you determine quite quickly and quite easily. And if you want to determine that for yourself, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. So you may be in a situation where you've had tremendous gains in your portfolio over the last decade or so. You might have a little bit of concern about the future. You want to take some winnings off the table or want to reduce your market risk or make sure you have some basic living needs guaranteed. You know that income's going to be there. And you may be able to even, depending on your income and such, be able to peel off some of those winnings, some of those gains without paying capital gains tax. It's all based on your income and all those types of things. So again, if you want to determine that, many more people qualify for this than they realize. If you want to determine that, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I'll be happy to share with you, look at your situation, and share with you what would make sense. And I'll just leave it with this. Again, I've said this several times. This is the best time. If you've ever looked at high cash value insurance policy, dividend paying policy, or an annuity, this is the best time in over 40 years for those products because of the higher interest rates. And as the Fed keeps repeating, higher for longer. So they're only going to get better, not worse. Stay tuned in the last segment. I got some current event information, some information about the government, what's going on, and some policies that you're going to want to know about because you probably haven't heard if you're listening to most media. So stay tuned.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and if you want to contact me at yourpersonalbank.com, yes, you will reach me. Again, that is yourpersonalbank.com. Well, now I'm going to go to what is sometimes the most fun and frustrating part of what I share. See, I have a dilemma. It's like I have a dual purpose with this show. One is, yes, it is a financially focused show. There's a lot of things going on with the economy and the financial world interest rate changes, inflation, all these things, what used to work really well has changed and vice versa. So I have to keep people up to date and help them know what to do to make decisions, good financial decisions, but also there's a lot of current events, political things, policies that affect our money too, that we need to be aware of too. So I've got some bad news, got some good news. So let me share with some of these with you. In the previous couple of weeks, I was discussing the EV station, man, the EV charging stations, that is. So in 2021, the Biden administration, in one of their laws that they passed, they pledged they would build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. Well, so far, they've built 7. The reason, and that's pathetic, obviously. And by the way, they spent something like $8 trillion on this, supposedly. So at this point, with 7 charging stations, that means they've averaged out to $1.2 trillion per charging station. Now, I assume, obviously, they're going to build more than that. But the reality is this. Why has the government been so inept at building charging stations? This is 3 years later. Okay. Why has they only been built 7? The government is normally very inefficient and very inept. I mean, that's just the normal process. But what happens is there are the regulations that are so onerous regarding how they have to do it. And also, they've added to it on top of it. In fact, the regulations affect over 500 federal initiatives, over 19 agencies. So to build these EV charging stations is a labyrinth of regulations, delays. It's just ridiculous, okay? But to make things matters even worse, they put on DEI requirements, which handcuff professionals from making any proper evaluations and prevent the government and the public from funding some of the most deserving projects because they're funneling them towards less qualified applicants. And those less qualified applicants are not producing. They're not actually able to do the job. They're trying to hire people that are not qualified to do the job because this is DEI stuff. And of course, the job is not getting done. So far, the money has been wasted. This has also happened recently. These are reasons not to trust or believe in big government. The White House recently has stated we're unable to track $6.2 billion that we sent to Ukraine. California recently said we're unable to track $24 billion spent to combat homelessness. The Pentagon has stated they're unable to track $2.33 trillion of military spending. The U.S. Treasury has stated they're unable to track $5 trillion of pandemic spending. But when they want to be efficient, the IRS says, we know you sent $601 to your friend and you better report it or we're going to fine you. My point is the government can be efficient if it wants to be, but most of the time it doesn't. It's a matter of priorities, isn't it? The feds now actually are acknowledging that the sanctions that they have put on different countries has actually led to the de-dollarization and the appeal for BRICS. Great example is the U.S. dollar, as we talked about, is the world's currency. If you wanted to purchase petroleum, for example, from Saudi Arabia, they used to have to do that in U.S. dollars. But when they put sanctions on the U.S. dollar, like they've done with Russia and other countries, then that causes those countries to rethink, do we really want to use U.S. dollars? Because the U.S. can just sanction us if we get on their bad side for whatever reason. I don't necessarily agree with what Russia's done, but I also understand why they're wanting to get away from the U.S. dollar, which then weakens the U.S. dollar, weakens our buying power, weakens our economic strength. In other words, just a really stupid move. But that's your government for you, or our government. A lot of things that happen in Europe occur before the United States. Europe kind of has become the laboratory for progressive policies. Well, it turns out now that Denmark has now passed the world's first carbon tax on livestock. And that carbon tax will now cost farmers about $100 per cow. One thing, in my opinion, that should not be taxed is food. Food is one of those things that every human being needs. And when you tax food, it affects the poorer and middle class the most. The poorer a person is, the more of their income they spend on food. It's not like you can choose not to eat. We don't have that option. So this is an attack on poor people. Let's face it. That is bad enough. But to make matters worse, it's just, in my opinion, it's just a big scam. The reality is cows do not create very much greenhouse gas. In fact, cows are actually natural animals that live in the environment. And there's many studies now that are coming out, reputable studies, big time, that are showing that we are currently, they keep talking about CO2. I have an agriculture degree, folks. I want you to know something. You go back to third grade science and you can remember this. There's the cycle where animals exhale carbon dioxide. Plants use that through photosynthesis as food to grow, and they exhale or exude oxygen that then animals breathe. It's the basic cycle of life. And there are significant studies out there now showing that there's been periods of time in this world, not that long ago, where we had much higher CO2 levels, carbon levels, than we have now, and there was more plant growth, higher crop production. In other words, the average production levels were higher because the plants were growing more. Plants thrive on CO2, on carbon dioxide, folks. We actually want more, not less. So taxing cows, farmers' cows, is doubly annoying. It affects poor people. It affects the farmers. It increases the cost of food. And it's actually taxing something we actually want more of, not less of. This insanity just needs to stop. Now, I love this little statement I saw here. And it was like, I've got to give credit to Mike Lees, senator from Utah. And he stated this. The federal government is like an HOA. It's like an HOA with the military and nukes, one that prints money and spies on you, requires you to work for months out of every year to pay your HOA fees, and regulates nearly every aspect of your existence, making every aspect of your life more expensive. And then here's another one I saw that I thought was really interesting. Kamala Harris owns a gun but doesn't want you to. Bernie Sanders makes millions but doesn't want you to. AOC flies on jets but doesn't want you to. And Obama picks his own doctors but doesn't want you to. You see a pattern? I thought that was quite interesting. So very appropriate. And then you always want to wonder why. If you wonder why things are the way they are, you always follow the money. Well, it turns out Hunter Biden owns 10% of a company called ePlata, which is a microfinancing loan companies for illegal aliens. So do you think Hunter Biden wants more illegals or less? Obviously, the Biden administration's policy on illegals is all-time highs, right? They're benefiting financially. Just connect the dots, folks. And then here's another one. This is from Elon Musk, by the way. And he's sharing, governments are growing out of control. And I agree with this completely. As he states, the government's role is to ensure that the playing field is a good playing field and that there are good rules. But what happens over time is government keeps growing, and at a certain point, you have more referees than players on the field, and then the game is no longer good. And he says, I'm not saying you don't need referees, but you don't want the referees to outnumber the players. So you just want to make sure the fair games are being played, there's sensible rules, and don't get in the way of the players. And that's when the results will be excellent. And it was at the recent G9 summit. I thought this was really interesting. So it had the presidents of some of the largest, mostly European and Japan and the U.S., of course, leaders. Several of them are, as they put it, unelected bureaucrats. One of them just lost an election. Another is just ready to lose an election. One of them had 50-year low poll numbers. Another couple of them have a 26% approval rating. These are not elected leaders. These are not democratic leaders. These are people who have an agenda, the vast majority of them. And this is how you should really view our current world leaders. One other thing that I thought was interesting too, it sure turns out looks like Finland might have found the fuel of the future, which actually beats hydrogen. Japan is developing hydrogen fueled vehicles, but Finland has another source using ammonia. And why this is so important is we've gone down the rabbit hole with our country pushing this EV mandate. By the way, studies now come out now that approximately half of EV owners have stated the next vehicle they're going to buy, go back to gas powered because they would prefer it, because a lot of the issues, the extra costs, the maintenance, the lack of ability to charge, all those kinds of things. But we've poured literally trillions of dollars into this EV thing. And the reality is the future technology might not be electric vehicles, folks. It might be hydrogen or ammonia or something else for that matter. And again, that's another reason where government stupidly, foolishly gets involved in pushing a certain technology, and they're inevitably wrong. And all that time and money and political capital was wasted. Why were they doing it? Obviously, they benefited politically, financially. I guess I want to finish on this thought. I like this article here. It says, money can't buy happiness. It's actually the other way around. Happy people are more successful in life. I share this thought all the time with people. I'm a financial guy. I talk to people about financial, you know, their financial future, their goals. I help them, again, reduce their market risks, increase their liquidity, reduce their taxes, all those kinds of things. And money is important, and it is important part of life, but it's not the most important. Your perspective in life, your happiness is far more important. What is makes you happy? And if you're not into watching your money all the time and you just want to have it safe and guaranteed, know it'll grow, like I've said repeatedly, this is the best time in over 40 years to do an annuity or high cash value life policy that's insured, guaranteed, and tax-free. Let it grow. Let it do its thing. You know the money's going to be there. You can live your life, enjoy doing what you do, and move on. If you're one of those that likes and enjoys trading and marketing and investing and all this stuff, and you pay attention to all that, and I know some of you are like that, that's fine, but you have to admit and agree that diversification makes sense. Playing with all, risking all of the money, particularly more financially uncertain times, just doesn't make sense. It's not wise. Allocating a portion to diversify and keeping it safe and guaranteed, and knowing your basic expenses are going to be covered throughout the rest of your life, and you can play with the rest and invest the rest, great, go for it. I'm going to be the first to encourage you to do that if that's what you love. But as I stated, do what makes you happy. Successful people, I've learned this a long time ago. Successful people, you can't avoid everything you don't enjoy doing. That's unrealistic. But successful people on average spend about 80% of their time focused on the things that makes them happy, that they're good at and gets good results, and only 20% or less of their time on the things that they don't do so well or don't enjoy so much. So if you want somebody to help you and eliminate that risk and eliminate the stress and know your money's going to be there, contact me, yourpersonalbank.com. And if you just want to set aside and diversify a portion, know it's there so you can play with the rest and have fun with that, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I'll help you do either one. I can help you accomplish your goals and make your financial future better. As always, stay tuned next week to Your Personal Bank Show. We'll have more great information. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required. Some products discussed may have limitations and not be available in all states.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank Show hosted by Ferentz Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, We are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.